Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, amen. God has given us another opportunity. I'm so thankful. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight. Oh, thank the Lord. It's wonderful to worship Him. Praise our God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And how we need to get closer to the Lord. Amen. These are not times to play around. These are not moments to backslide. Oh, we need God right now, and how we need to be closer to the Lord every day and every moment. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Let's pray as we begin here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for this privilege to come here to worship thee, oh Lord, to get our minds on thee, Lord. Oh God, to open up thy word and, oh God, to study. I pray, oh Lord, that you would be here, Lord. Oh God, that you would bind every contrary spirit and, oh God, everything that would come to hinder. Oh God, I pray that you'd open up our hearts, Lord. We could do nothing without you, Lord. Oh God, we need you here to minister to our hearts. Oh God, to help us to draw closer to thee. Oh Lord, to get to that higher ground. Oh Lord, we could do nothing without you, Jesus. And help us, Lord, here. Oh God, as we strive for the mastery, Lord. Oh God, as we draw closer to that time, oh Lord, that time of thy coming, Lord, for it is at the door. And I pray, oh Lord, that you would talk to our hearts. Oh God, that you'd cause us to be ready on that great day, Lord. Oh Lord, our lamps trimmed and burning, Lord. Oh God, that zeal for thee, Lord. Oh God, doing what you have allowed us to do, Lord, what you have ordained for us to do. I pray that you talk to our hearts. I pray that you'd use this word, Lord. Oh God, that it would have free course, that you would take it, Lord, and oh God, that you would use it. Oh Lord, we know that we need you, Lord, and I pray, oh God, for thy mercy, for thy grace. I pray that you would help your people, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you would move mightily, God, oh Lord, to meet the needs that are among us, Lord Jesus. Oh God, that you would strengthen your people, Lord Jesus, for we surely could do nothing without you, Lord. I pray, oh Lord, that you continue to heal Stacy, Lord. I pray that you'd help them on their journey. Oh God, I pray that all things would come together as thou hast ordained, oh Lord. And oh God, thy strength, thy power, thy faith, oh Lord, would come, oh Lord, to meet the needs, Lord Jesus. For you know, oh God, what has gone forth. And oh Lord, you know, oh God, all the particulars. And oh God, I pray for Mackenzie too, Lord. Oh God, that you'd stretch forth your hand to heal her. Oh Lord, oh God, to move in a mighty way, Lord. Oh Lord, thou art faithful. Thou hast promised, and we can rest in thy promises, Lord. Oh God, we know that they are yea and amen. And I pray, oh God, that you work mightily, Lord. Oh God, to restore health. Oh God, to give sleep, Lord. Oh God, to move in a very special way, Lord Jesus. That thy will would be done, Lord, to give ability. Oh God, to give strength. Oh Lord, for you are our great enabler. Oh God, you're the one that made us, and you know how to fix us, Lord. Oh God, help your people, Lord. Help Penny tonight, Lord. Strengthen her, oh Lord, with thy spirit, oh Lord, and with faith. I pray, oh God, that you'd help us, Lord, for you know each and every need, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you'd work, Lord. Oh Lord, I pray, oh Lord, oh God, as we come before thee, that you would have your way in our hearts. You'd open up our hearts. Help us to see. God, oh Lord, help us to hear. Oh God, let there be no hindrances here tonight. Oh Lord Jesus, oh God, move in us, Lord Jesus. I pray that thy will would be done, Lord. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, I give this message to thee and ask, oh Lord, that you would work. You open up our hearts and help us, God. Oh Lord, oh God, I know I can do nothing without you. And I pray, oh Lord, for your leading, your guiding, your words, your inspiration, your anointing. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' precious name, amen. Praise the Lord, oh praise the Lord. Well, God knows how to work out all things. Praise the Lord. And I do. I know. I believe we should pray for people that are being affected by these vaccine mandates. That is really a very difficult thing. I know I noticed the note from Nina, a dear woman in Pennsylvania, and she was remarking how there's nurses, there's doctors who don't want to take the vaccine, and they know they're going to lose their job if they don't go forward with it. And you know, it's a very stressful time. Could lose our best medical people, those that really have a heart. But oh my, God knows. And I know He knows how to make a way. All these things that don't make sense, that don't add up. And here we are, such perilous moments as these are. But praise the Lord, our God is the same. And He knows how to help us. He knows how to meet these needs. I know Nina was remarking there in her note that many of the nurses have seen people that were vaccinated come in, and they know there are side effects. And oh my, they've seen people that have struggled after being vaccinated, taking the shot. And you know, I'm sure they've even witnessed death. And how we need God. Oh, praise the Lord. His coming is at hand. And by His strength and with His help, we need to strive to enter in. Amen. Strive to enter in. Praise the Lord. We're going to call our message tonight, Strive to Enter In. And as I go into this message, I'd like to define that word strive. Praise the Lord. It means to exert much effort and much energy. It means to contend. It means to fight forcefully. And praise the Lord, you know, we live in a time where, you know, there's people that go with this simple believism mentality. And I know we have to believe on the Lord. And I know there's that step before we can really even know much at all. We have to believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, without faith, it's going to be impossible to please God. So there has to be a faith before one can go forward and even have faith in God and see God working in one's life. But so many people think that, you know, there was a moment when perhaps they prayed the sinner's prayer, and you know, that can be a good start in one's life. You know, I mean, if it's said from the heart and it initiates a change, then praise the Lord. But I know sometimes there's people that have prayed it, and you know, that's all. Nothing else happened after that. Their life didn't change, and you know, they didn't strive for the mastery. They didn't have much knowledge. I know there's also that theory that some believe. I know the Baptists go on this doctrine, this once saved, always saved type of thought. And if you know you initially give your life to the Lord, well then, you know, you're never going to lose that salvation. Oh my, I think the Word of God says differently. And there are many examples of people who had walked with the Lord and then became lukewarm or became cold and you know, gave up the race and began to walk in their own ways and left it all behind. Oh, there's many examples. I think many of us probably know many people who once served the Lord and after a while, when it became hard, when the conflicts came and there was even maybe persecution and trouble of all sorts, that individual gave in and no longer serve the Lord. Oh my, it has happened. Sad to say. But I believe the scripture teaches a great need to strive, to exert much effort and much energy in order to enter in. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh yes. Because we are in a race. And it's an endurance race. Oh, it doesn't matter how quickly we ran at the first. No, this race is a race until the end. It means continuously contending for the faith. It means not giving up. It means not getting discouraged and running away in another direction. No, it means to continue, to pursue, to have a goal. Oh, a very deep goal within our being that we're going to serve the Lord, that we're going to finish this race. Oh, yes, that we're going to get to that finish line and, oh, hear our Savior say, well done. Amen. Praise the Lord for the grace of God that is in our hearts. Amen. Let's go to Luke, the 13th chapter here. Luke chapter 13 here as we began here tonight. Praise the Lord. Luke 13. I'm going to the 22nd verse here to begin. Luke chapter 13, verse 22. Tells us in verse 22, and he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Oh my, what a serious portion of scripture here. I think Jesus was very much to the point. You know, he made it quite clear that need to strive to enter in at the strait gate. And then he even says that there's going to be many that are going to seek to enter in and shall not be able. Well, I'll tell you what, that is something to take seriously. Those are words that Jesus said with a great serious effect. Amen. Oh my, there was a great need. I'm sure he didn't say them just to say words. But oh yes, I believe he wanted us to know, in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, that there must be an exertion, there must be an effort, energy must be given, there must be a contending. Oh, that need to fight that spiritual battle. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 tell us, also part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, they tell us, enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, I think the truth is very contrary to many people's thinking. You know, it seems that, you know, when people die, you know, almost, you know, if they've been a Christian of sorts at all, you know that, you know, there's an assumption that they made it to heaven. But I have to wonder, when I compare those thoughts to the Word of God and what Jesus himself said here in that 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, and also what we read there in Luke, the 13th chapter. I believe he's saying just the opposite than what many, many people think. He's telling us that there are actually very few people that enter into that straight gate and walk that narrow way, that way which leadeth unto everlasting life. He said there's few that find it. To the contrary, the other way, oh, the popular way, oh yes, it's a wide gate, and it's a broad way. It's easier. Oh my, it's simpler. You know, you don't have to be so exacting to walk that wide gate and that broad way. Oh my. But the sad thing is, that way leadeth to destruction. And it is sad that, as Jesus told us, many there be which go in thereat. Oh, yes, there is a need to strive to enter in, to make it into heaven. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And oh, how we want to be those that are part of the faithful. We don't want to be found among those that are weeping and gnashing their teeth when all at once there's a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven. No, yes, you can see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets, all the people of God there in that wonderful kingdom, and you have no access. Oh, you might pound on the door. You might knock and knock and knock and knock. You might cry, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But if at that moment you are not found ready, there's going to be no access to that heavenly place. Oh, it's going to be indeed very sad. And you might say, well, wow, Lord, we went to church. Oh, we paid tithe. Oh, my, you know, we gave to charities. You know, we tried to be a good Samaritan. But is that enough? Is that what was required only? Jesus came to this world to save us from our sin. And therefore, when we come to the Lord, oh yes, there's a need for repentance. Repentance is a turning away from sin. Oh, it's, you know, a realization that we no longer want to walk in that way. And in our heart, there comes that desire to forsake sin and not to walk in that pursuit. Oh, yes, to give our life over to the Lord and let him begin a work in us, a new and living way. But yes, that need to repent. Oh, yes, so we don't have to be a worker of iniquity, so that we don't retain those sins. Oh, so that we don't walk in those paths. So we will not be called a worker of iniquity. Oh, there's so many that are fooled. And oh, yes, we know in the book of Hosea. Oh, yes, the prophet is crying out there. It's the 8th chapter of Hosea. And, you know, He's saying, you know, in chapter 8, verse 1, it says, set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. On the other hand, it says in verse 2 here in Hosea chapter 8, Israel shall cry unto me, my God, we know thee. But oh my, it tells us in verse 3, Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him, They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Oh, there is a day when all will be judged. And all the things that people have avoided and omitted and not considered, oh, it will become very dire at that moment. To have heeded the word of God, to have given our lives over to the loving and living Savior, oh, yes, to be right in His sight, to not be a worker of iniquity. Oh, so that we will not be cast off in that day when we stand before the Lord. Oh, there is such a need. Oh, yes. Oh, they're going to come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Oh, people from all parts of the world coming, oh, yes, to sit down in the kingdom of God. But all those that enter in have been striving for the mastery. They've been striving to seek the Lord. Oh, yes, they've answered that call to repent, to turn from one sin, to get right with God. And yes, that call to repentance will bring you to the waters of baptism. Praise the Lord, when you realize that need to identify with the Lord Jesus in the waters of baptism. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, taking His name upon you. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, so those sins can be remitted in those waters of baptism. Oh, praise the Lord. And then going forward, yes, that promise of receiving the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, the Lord has given us instructions. And we know, as, oh, yes, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, as the Proverbs tell us. It's not going to be the way that most people think. Oh, yes, you know, the logic. Logic isn't going to get us into heaven. Good deeds alone are not going to get us into heaven. No, we must give heed to the gospel message and turn from our willful ways. Acknowledging our need, oh yes, to repent and turn our lives over to the living God. Oh yes, to have those sins blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Yes, and obeying that command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes. Well, we know. Many people choose the easy way because serving God is not going to be easy. In fact, if we turn now to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, I'd just like to go there. And you know, it certainly tells us in this portion of Scripture that, you know, it's not going to be simple, Simon, to enter into the kingdom of heaven. In the sense that, you know, it's an automatic thing, or just by thinking good thoughts, or, you know, just, you know, trying to initiate it by our own means, by our own will. You know, and I've talked to people. I remember one man that the Lord led me to, and that was quite a story. And you know, we got talking. He was sick. He had cancer. I don't know if he's still alive. And anyway, we got into some serious conversation. And, you know, his philosophy was that if, you know, he just did the things that were in his heart, he was going to be okay. That would take him into heaven. Oh, my. I don't know. I don't think so. You know, I think we need to give heed to the things that are written in the book of life. Amen. I think we need to strive to enter in to the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. Read a portion here. Going to verse 12 here, 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Oh, yes, Peter is writing. He says in verse 12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, those fiery trials that test and try us. But Peter is telling us, don't think this is, outlandish. Don't think this is strange. It's going to happen to all of us in so many words. And there's a beautiful side to it. Because when we go through these fiery trials, we become partakers of Jesus Christ's sufferings. And praise the Lord, the Lord uses such to purify us, to draw us closer to God, to get us to that higher ground that we so desperately need. Oh yes, he uses those things to teach us, oh, to perfect us, to make us what we ought to be in the Lord Jesus. Because he knows there's a day that we're going to stand before him. And oh my, what is going to be so very important at that moment is that we would be acceptable in his sight. So that when his glory shall be revealed, at that moment, oh yes, when we see him face to face, when we stand before him in his presence, oh, how we want to be glad with exceeding joy, with very great joy. Oh, knowing that all is well, that we don't have a conscience that's, full of sin. And, things that we haven't turned over to the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, we want a conscience that's void or empty of offenses. Oh, so we can stand before the Lord with all those sins behind us and blotted out and hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord." Oh, yes, that's what we're striving for. Oh, yes, that's what we want to hear. And we want to be glad also with exceeding joy. Peter went on to tell us in verse 14, "If ye be reproached," or scorned, in other words, "for the name of Christ," he said, "happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." Oh, it's an amazing thing, those trials, those tests. Oh, those hard reproaches. Even persecutions and all of that. Oh my. When we go through those fiery things. Oh yes, if it's for the cause of Jesus Christ, it means that we are a partaker in his sufferings. Oh, praise the Lord. And we are told to rejoice. Just for a moment, I'm coming back here to 1 Peter, but, if we go to the Sermon on the Mount again here, the fifth chapter this time of Matthew, verse 10 tells us, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Verse 11 says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you," when they scorn you, and they reject you, and all of those things that are not easy to endure. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." In verse 12, it goes so along with what Peter said in his epistle. Verse 12 says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Those prophets had it hard. They went through all kinds of persecutions. I don't know, hardly any of them, lived, just a timely death. I think most of them were, persecuted in some way, and they gave their life for the cause of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Yes. So, yes, that right that we have to rejoice if we're scorned, if we're ridiculed, if we're mocked, if we're persecuted for the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, to realize, yes, oh, it's a part of partaking in the sufferings of Jesus Christ, identifying with him. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. So back here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14 again, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it's how God sees it. Oh, sometimes, you know, we worry too much about what other people think. You know, if I do this, if I do that, they're going to think I'm a little crazy. I'm a little bit nutty. Oh, my. Well, they're going to think all kinds of things anyway. But none of that really matters. The only thing that really counts is, how does God see it? What does God think? Oh, yes. What is his estimation of the situation? Oh, yes. That is what matters. Amen. It continues here to tell us in 1 Peter 4, verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Oh, yes, all these things that, you know, are works of the flesh in reality. We don't want to suffer in that way. But yet he said in verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And then, oh, there's a serious element that is given here in verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Oh, the big question. What is going to be the end for those that do not give heed to the word of God, who have not listened? Oh, yes. Who have not repented of their sins. Oh, it's going to be a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh, indeed it is. I know in the book of Hebrews, in the second chapter, verse 3 asks that question too in another way. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, that is a big question. Oh, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Oh, what a salvation we've been granted. God Almighty, the creator of the universe, coming to this world, putting on flesh to seek and to save those that are lost. Oh, the price that was paid that we might be joint heirs with Christ. Oh, that we might be his sons and daughters. What a price was paid. And if we neglect his salvation, then there is no escape. There is no escape. Oh, how we need to give heed while we still can, while we yet have time, while there is still a call that comes forth, oh, that knock at our heart's door. Oh, yes, that need to repent, to acknowledge that we are a sinner and give our lives over to the Lord Jesus. You know, it's a simple thing. It's a simple thing. And oh, yes, I beseech you, if you have not yet given heed to that call, that you would do it even now. Oh, yes, if you acknowledge your great need for salvation and admit that you are a sinner, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, yes, the scripture tells us there is none righteous, no, not one. Oh, we need to give heed right now while we can. Back here in 1 Peter 4. Verse 17 again, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And then verse 18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, or if we just make it by the skin of our teeth, scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinners appear? Oh, how we need to give heed. How we need to strive to enter in. Oh, yes, this day is coming. It is coming soon. Oh, that trumpet is going to sound. Oh, Gabriel is standing there. I believe he's ready to blow that trumpet. And what a sound that is going to be when he blows that trumpet. Oh, yes, oh, is that sound, that trumpet echoes throughout, oh, every portion of the earth. Even such a trumpet to wake up the dead. Oh, what a moment that is going to be. Oh, it's going to come, folks. It's going to come. I know it's going to come. And it tells us as we're ending here this chapter, it says in verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there are people that have given their lives for the cause of Christ. And praise the Lord, how beautiful that, oh yes, we could commit our hearts, our soul, our lives unto the living God. Praise the Lord and know that he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. Praise the Lord. Oh, that confession of faith. Oh, yes, that repenting of our sins. Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, yes, we gave it over to the Lord. Oh, yes, and obeyed that command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And praise the Lord. The Lord has heard. And oh, he's able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day of his judgment. Yes, that day that is forthcoming. Oh, yes. Oh, how we need to give heed. How we need to continue to walk with the Lord. How we need to make our calling and election sure. And as we go to the second epistle of Peter, now 2 Peter, the first chapter, I believe it's going to instruct us on how we can make our calling and election sure. Oh, how we can have a joyful entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank God for his word. Let's go to 2 Peter, the first chapter here. Praise the Lord. It tells us here, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ. And let me just pause here. This epistle, like all the other epistles, were written to people that had a walk with the Lord, that had come to the Lord Jesus in repentance, and had obeyed the command to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and had received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And so here it's easily identified there, those that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ. Then it continues, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Oh, praise the Lord, that wonderful call. Oh, we were called out of the darkness and into his glorious light. Praise the Lord. It's a call to glory and to virtue. Oh, virtue. Yes, it's excellency. Oh, yes, as far as morals are concerned. That strength that only God can give us in reality. Praise the Lord. You can say it's moral excellence. But there's that call. Yes, we're just not called to, for the moment, and, expected to stay as we are when we're called. Like I just said, we're called out of the darkness. So that means that, oh my, there's going to be a change. There's going to be a difference in us. We're going to become new creatures in Christ as we heed the gospel. Oh yes, and go forth and begin to strive to enter in. Praise the Lord. Yes, that call is to glory and virtue. And verse 4 tells us here in 2 Peter 1, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Oh, the promises of God. Oh, there are none like them. Oh, they are so significant and just beyond what we could even comprehend in this world, with what we could compare, with what we see with our own eyes while we walk this earth. Oh, there's great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Oh my, to become like the Lord Jesus. To have divinity running through our being. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh yes, we're going to be new creatures in the Lord Jesus when we truly give our lives over to him. And yes, when that call comes, there's that deliverance. And our attitude begins to change. Our goals begin to change. We begin to see things in a different way than ever before. Indeed, as it tells us in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verse 15. Oh yes, this will be the way we begin to connect, the way we begin to think. Oh, yes, it says in verse 15 here in 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, we learn to put down the old man. Oh, yes, those things, those lusts, they must go. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all those carnal attributes. Oh, we get to go when we turn our lives over to the living God and let go of them. Let go of them. Amen. But praise the Lord, in doing so, we escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Praise the Lord. So here we are. Oh, that ability, by the grace of God, to become partakers of his divine nature. Come on, this is something you could not do of yourself. There is no way. All the old Greeks and Romans, they had their mythology, and, they made gods in their own image, and, gave them characteristics, like unto themselves. And, esteemed these myths very highly, sad to say. But oh my, no, we serve a mighty God. And oh, he's all holy. He's all pure. Oh, he's almighty. Oh, there is none to compare to our Lord and Savior. Oh, praise the Lord. There is no sin. Oh, he's perfection. Oh, there's nothing in him that, oh Lord, that is a fault. Or something that is negative at all. Oh my. We know that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Oh, praise the Lord, a God so mighty and so great, a God that doesn't change, man. And the gods of mythology and all, they were changing. They were made in the likenesses of men. But, praise the Lord, our God knows no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Praise the Lord, he's not one way, one moment, in another way, the next. What he has said, he has meant. He hasn't changed. And praise the Lord, we don't want to rewrite the word of God. We don't want to, misinterpret it. And think, there's an exception to the rule. Oh, no. Our God said what he said. And, how we need to give heed. So, we take this. It says in verse 5 here, and besides this, giving all diligence. Oh, yes, if we're going to give diligence, we're going to put our very best effort forth, a very constant, earnest effort forth. We're going to give diligence. I mean, come on, this isn't something we just kind of have to. If we're going to serve the Lord, let's serve him with all our heart. Let's forget about all the other things. And let's make it a goal. Our goal is to heaven. Our goal is to be able to stand before the Lord, having obtained the mastery, to be able to hear him say, well done. He's not going to say, well done, if we've messed up, if we're living in our sins, if there's iniquity in our life. He's not going to be able to say, well done. So we give all diligence. And we're going to add to your faith. Oh, faith. We have to have faith to even come to God. For without faith, it's going to be impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we take that faith, that believing faith, and we begin to add to it. It says to add to that faith virtue. That moral excellency, striving to do the things that are right, to put down sin and to live right, to live holy. Oh, yes, to do the things that please the Lord, not according to man's expectations, but according to God's. And then to that virtue, add knowledge. Oh, that need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How could we divide the word of truth if we don't know it? Oh my, it takes a lot of studying. Oh, God's word, it doesn't change, but the striving to gain that knowledge, to have it in our heart, to have it in our heads as best as we can. Oh, yes, there's going to be a pursuit here. If our goal is heaven, then, we've got to go to it. We've got to, have this, in front of us and work on this. So, yes, we're going to take that faith and add virtue to it. And then to that virtue, we're going to add knowledge, the knowledge of God's word. And then to that knowledge, we need temperance. We need to learn, how to control ourselves, to have self-control, self-restraint. Praise the Lord. And by his grace and by his knowledge, yes, we learn to be temperate. And then, we take that temperance. And this is another thing that doesn't come easy. Patience. Patience, it's not wishful thinking to be patient. It's going to come through trials and tests. It's going to come out with, working on our own salvation with fear and trembling. Praise the Lord. To have patience. God is patient with us. And how we need to learn to be patient one with another. Praise the Lord. But yes, as we're climbing up that ladder, our goal, you know, are striving, oh, to be like the Most High, to have that divine nature. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, you know, we're going to put on that temperance to our knowledge. And from there, oh, let the patience grow. Let patience have her perfect work. And then to take patience, and oh, yes, it says godliness, to add godliness. Oh, to think like God. Oh, yes, it's, you know, the Holy Ghost works in us. And he tempers us, and he changes us, and, you know, there's things that we have to, you know, let go of. But as he does this work, we can get to that point where we have godliness. And then, even beyond godliness, it says brotherly kindness. Oh, just having compassion one towards another, you know, full of kind deeds, and just kindness in general. Praise the Lord. Just, you know, brotherly kindness. Be nice one to another. Amen. And then on top of it all, charity. Oh, charity. That love that gives without expecting anything in return. Agape love, the love that Jesus Christ had for us when he gave his life a ransom on that cross. Oh, that was a love that gave, oh, that we might be saved. We didn't deserve it. We hadn't done anything to deserve that kind of love. But he did it for us. He was buying us. He was redeeming us. He was setting us free. No, he was giving this wonderful ability for us to come to him and accept and embrace his wonderful salvation. Praise the Lord. Charity. Charity which covereth a multitude of sins. That love that Jesus Christ has had for his church. Amen. Oh, that church that he's bringing forth, that glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's why he came to this earth, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. All these spots. I mean, you know, that perfecting. That's what this life is all about. It's, you know, growing, becoming like Jesus Christ. We can't do it of ourselves. It's impossible. But as we learn to put on Christ and let him operate in us, he begins to change us and chisel us and make us what we ought to be in him. And all that growth as comes forth. You know, as it tells us in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 10, oh, praise the Lord, one of my favorite verses, I think. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Oh, praise the Lord. See, there's a process here. We're going to suffer a little bit. Yeah, there's going to be some groaning. There's going to be some hard moments. We might not even understand what's going on. But praise the Lord, we can give it to the Lord, realizing, you know, he's working in us. Oh, yes, so that one day we can glory in his presence. Oh, yes, so that we can be right in his presence, so we can be perfect. After you have suffered a while, make you perfect. Established, strengthened, and settled. Praise the Lord. It's clear. You know, I'm going forward. I'm not one way, one moment and another the next. It's in my heart. It's settled. And I'm strengthened by his might. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm established in his word. Oh, that's how we want to be. Amen. Going back here to 2 Peter, that first chapter, verse 8, it says, considering all those attributes that we have spoken of, it says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's how we bear fruit, and that's how we can stand before Him. Oh, yes, with fruit, something to give Him. A life that has been wrought in Christ. Amen. So if we have those characteristics, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, those fruits abound in us, those attributes, then it says that they are going to make us to be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And on the other hand, it tells us in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. In other words, there's limited perception. You know, you're not going to get everything. You're not going to understand even simple things if you know you haven't grown in the Lord to that extent. Oh, my high, and it says, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Oh, my. All the things that can, you know, grow in us, and we forget the price that was paid for our salvation. Well, we don't ever want to get there. That place where, oh my, it's you know, it's forgotten. And we cannot perceive. We're blind to the things of God. Oh, we don't want to be there by any means. So then we're exhorted in the 10th verse here. It says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Oh, praise the Lord. There's that word again. Oh, our very best effort to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what we strive for. Oh, how we want to put on Christ. How we want to be a partaker of his divine nature. Oh, we want that entrance, that glorious entrance. Oh, that abundant entrance there into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, yes, a lot to strive for. As we realize these things, there's that realization that we are running a race. We are running a race. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, talks about it. We go there for a moment here. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, tells us, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. Oh, yes. You know, if you're preparing for a race in the physical sense, are you just going to practice running once a year and think that will be sufficient? You know, you're going to spend an hour, you know, once a year getting ready to run this great race, or even an hour once a week? Is that going to be sufficient? Is that going to, you know, help us to run this race and receive a prize? You know, I think that's true with almost any endeavor. You've got a goal, you know, you want to learn how to speak German. You know, is it going to, you know, teach you, you know, you're going to learn it just by opening the book, you know, one evening and you know, going through it for an hour? Is that going to be sufficient? Is that going to, you know, make you, you know, able to speak that language? No, I don't think so. You know, you want to learn to play the piano? Well, one lesson should do it, huh? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think so. But we are running a spiritual race. And, you know, is it going to be enough if you occasionally open up your Bible and read a verse? Oh, maybe even a chapter? Oh, yeah, I do it once a week. Oh, no. I do it once a month. I don't know what the habit is. But is that going to, be a great enough endeavor to get us into the kingdom of heaven? I wonder. No, there is a race that we must run. And Paul is writing about it here in 1 Corinthians 9. And he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain." See, there's a goal that we must have. There's a goal. Our heart has to be set on the endeavor. If I want to learn German, I've got to realize that, opening up that book, once a year isn't going to be enough for me to learn that language. And so much more with our spiritual endeavors, our goal to make it to heaven. Honestly, we just pray occasionally. Is that going to be enough? We just think about the Lord once in a while. Is that going to be enough? No, these are questions to ask ourselves. If we misinterpret Scripture and deviate from God's Word, is that going to get us into the kingdom of God? We're running a race. We've got to lay aside every weight and all the sin that easily besets us. We need to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, yes, we've got to realize, God Almighty put on flesh to come to this world with one goal. Oh, to save his people, to redeem a people. Oh, yes. Oh, to take us, out of our own carnal nature and make us his own spiritual creation, his own sons and daughters. Praise the Lord. Yes, that's why he came. There was a goal. And how we need a goal. Oh, how we need to run to obtain it. It tells us in verse 25 here in 1 Corinthians 9. "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." In other words, there's a self-control. Again, if you're running a race, in the physical sense, there's got to be self-control. There's got to be determination. You've got to realize, you've got to practice regularly. You've got to have your heart set on it. And you may not be able to eat everything you want to eat, in order to keep your physical person in good health and to be able to run that race. You're going to need to be temperate in all things. Well, Paul wrote and said, "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Oh, yes, an incorruptible crown, one that doesn't decay or rot or perish. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we're running this race. There's a goal. Oh, our minds have to be set upon it. Oh, we want to see Jesus. We want to be able to stand before him and hear him say, "Well done." So he says, verse 26, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." Not just a run to run or do it to, beat the air. No, there's a goal. There's a mission. There's a purpose. And it's deep inside. It's embedded in us, Oh, we got to keep at it. We got to keep at it until we obtain that goal. And Paul wrote in verse 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." He's talking about discipline. Oh, to be subject to the will of God, a vigorous discipline, subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Oh my, there's Paul, who works so earnestly. Oh, so hard for the cause of Christ. and suffered so very many things, but yet he realized he was running a race. And oh, there was no reason there, you know, it would not be wise to give in to the flesh and to go carnal, to backslide, you know, to just kind of forget it for a little while, thinking that, you know, you can pick up that cross and follow the Lord again down the road. No. He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Well, he realized it wasn't over yet. He's still running that race when he wrote this scripture, this letter to the Corinthians. And I've got this goal. And I've got to keep running. I've got to keep doing. I've got to keep my flesh under subjection so that I don't mess up, so that I don't miss the goal. Oh, so that I don't miss out on heaven. Oh, how we need it. We got to strive to enter in. Oh, there's a cause. There's a purpose. There's a reason. There's a goal. And oh, we're not going to get there by just wishful thinking. No, there's endeavors. There's a work. Oh, our heart has to be set in that way so that we can make it in to the kingdom of God. Amen. And hear him say, well done. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we're working. Oh, yes, there's a crown that's laid up for the children of God. Oh, Paul wrote about it. And he said that crown wasn't just for him, but it was for all them, all those that love his appearing, the appearing of our Lord in Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, praise the Lord. Let's go to Philippians here. Praise the Lord as I get ready to close here tonight. Philippians, the second chapter. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 12 here, Philippians 2, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He tells them, he instructs in verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Oh my, you know, that murmuring spirit, that complaining. Oh, and disputes, oh, arguments, debates, you know, attitudes that sometimes, you know, aren't very good. They're not going to get us anywhere good anyway. And he says in verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's getting nastier and nastier in this old world. Oh, it's very apparent that, you know, we're living in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. Oh, people that don't fear God. Oh, I thank God for those that do. But oh my, there's many, oh, that are going their own sinful, willful ways. Oh, that could care less about what God's word says. They have their own plan. Oh, they're building on their own foundation. Oh, they think they're going to come forth with a new world and oh, have their own kind of utopia. They're going to do it their way, they think. Oh, they rejected God. They rejected God's word. They despised it. They ridiculed it. Oh, they hate the people of God. And they think, oh my, you know, they're going to do what they will do. Oh, yes, send people to FEMA camps and, get rid of, the people that are in their way because they have a goal. But oh my, it's not a goal to make heaven their home. It's not that goal by any means. No, it's a goal to bring up their own world, a world where there's control, where they control the lives of every individual to their own liking, their own thinking. Oh, world of robots and artificial intelligence, and all the other things. But oh, praise the Lord. Oh, God is a people, and all he has told us here, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, he said, ye are the light of the world, Jesus told us. A city that is on the hill cannot be hid. Praise the Lord. And so let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that's how we want to be. Oh, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, we want to be those that shine as lights in this world. If we're a light, we can help that person who's struggling, that person who doesn't know the way of salvation, that doesn't know that there's hope in this world. Oh, praise the Lord, the light of the Lord will shine, oh, to help them to see their needs so that they can turn from their sinful, willful ways and give heed to the cause of Christ. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, that big question that was asked as we began this study tonight, one that asked, Lord, are there few that be saved? And Jesus' response, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter and shall not be able. Oh, how we want to be those that are on the right hand of God, his sheep that know his voice and have followed after him and done his will. Oh, praise the Lord, those that have striven to enter in to that place, that heavenly home. Praise the Lord, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord, that exertion, that effort, that energy, that contending. Oh, yes, to strive to make entrance. And it means that we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, fearing God. That means that we have carefulness and we show diligence to make our calling and election sure. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Work in our hearts, Lord. Oh, God, motivate us. Oh, God, help us to get ready for that great and terrible day of the Lord. Oh, God, that we might, oh, be on thy right hand and hear thee say, well done, oh, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Work in us. Oh, God, help us to strive for the mastery. Strive to enter in. Oh, God, that we might gain all that ground, that we might gain access to thy heavenly kingdom. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Work in us, Lord. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise our God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to turn to number 78 in the chorus book and sing Keep on Walking by Faith, number 78. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night. Be safe. Praise the Lord.